It is a wonderful blessing to be able to sit quietly and listen to the silence that's around us. There is something about that stillness of patiently waiting for that moment to change or for the time to speak to come. You might hear a cough or a car or a bird. We might not hear anything at all. And yet it is in that silence, that quiet, that we sense the power of God, the richness of God just under the surface, that sometimes we miss in the midst of our talking and engaging with each other and with our lives. We miss the presence of God that's always here. Each person has a calling. Each person has a unique job or work that they are to do in their lives. Oftentimes, it's many different things that we do in our lives. It's not one thing. But those are the things, those are the tasks, the jobs we have as children of God. And much of our life is spent on trying to discover what those tasks might be, beyond perhaps the obvious ones of needing to make a living and take care of ourselves and our family, having to go to work, cook, clean, accrue enough, hopefully, financial security that you can feel some stability, some sense of God's benevolence in one's life. So there are all those things that we do, and then there can be great talents that maybe we have. Talents for music, talents for service, talents for teaching, talents for working with money, talents for working with the ground, the earth, talents for communicating with others, talents for making a large family. It's all kinds of things we can have talents at. And usually there's quite a mix. So it's not so much about finding exactly what the one defining talent is one has in one's life, but it is acknowledging that we are called consistently on an ongoing basis to offer ourselves, offer our talents and our service and our wealth, our resources to assist the divine in recreating and renewing the world all the time. This is something that is easy to perhaps overlook or not to take seriously because it sounds like it's too big a job for one person. And it is too big a job for one person. But all of us together are called to step forward into God's vision of this world. And it can be very helpful in the process of doing this, of feeling that call, hearing it, and moving forward with it, if we have some sense of what God is to us in our lives. Because what God is to me personally is probably different than what it is to Nick, or is different than it is to any of you. And once again, there's not a right or a wrong answer. Each of us is called because each of us has a unique set of talents that we bring into creation that God values because God gave those gifts and talents to us in order to go into life and bring them out. It's like we have a suitcase full of clothes, wonderful clothes, some beautiful hats and scarves and pants and suits and dresses and, you know, whatever it happens to be in your particular suitcase. Now, if you just keep it in the suitcase the whole time, because you're not sure God has asked you to step forward into your life, You're not sure God has said to open it up and take out those magnificent clothes and share them with the world, then you're losing an opportunity. God's losing an opportunity. One of the phrases I've heard being given to God is that God so loved the world that he gave his only son in sacrifice. We've heard that one. But I think in addition to that, why God created the world in the first place? Because God said, I was a hidden treasure, and I desired to be known. I didn't know who I was, and only by creating the world and all that is in it can I begin to appreciate all that I am. The divine splendor that is constantly opening up all around us in the new grass, in the flowers, in the sun rising each day, in our lives, when we have that first sip of coffee or orange juice in the morning and we start to wake up, when the phone calls and we pick it up and it's a friend or a family member and we feel that warmth of recognition. This is someone I care about. This is someone who cares for me. When we settle down after a long day, getting ready to go to bed, brush our teeth, sometimes take out our teeth, get ready to lie down. Maybe we pray before we close our eyes. When that happens, God is with us. That is God in action in our lives. In those little things that can seem perhaps unimportant, they're hugely important. Those of you that are parents, you know how important it is to support your children, to tell them you love them or they did a good job or help them learn better. Help them thrive so they can survive and do well in this world of ours. Maybe some of you remember how your parents helped you. Those are memories that go deep. Those are experiences that form our character and how we see the world and how we see our place in the world. God is in all of those moments. God is in the midst of our smallest, infinitesimal blink of an eye that happens so often we have no awareness of it. Unless someone says, you're blinking your eye. And then you're like, oh no, what's wrong? I shouldn't be blinking my eyes. And God is in the huge things. When you're celebrating birthday or getting well or supporting a friend who's overcome real challenges. In the big things and in the little things, God is a constant. So I'd like to ask you all right now, and Nora, if you could perhaps help me with the microphone, share with us, what is God to you? There's no right answer. There's no wrong answer. But if you feel called, raise your hand. Nora will bring the microphone and just say what God is to you. This is a chance to witness God here amongst your friends in the church.
God is my Savior.
Amen.
God is eternal. God is my Father.
God is everything and everywhere.
He's my healer, my shelter, my provider, my rock, my purpose.
God is someone I can turn to when I sometimes need help, feel it alone, or I especially turn to God to say, thank you, for he gives me so many gifts every day of the week. Thank you.
God is my motivation.
Just God is love.
God is my support.
God is the Spirit who I pray to daily.
God is sitting up here in the choir loft looking out at all you wonderful people.
A lot of different definitions for what God is. I'm sure we could get even more if we said, what isn't God? But we'll save that for another day. There's a poem I'd like to read from Gerard Manley Hopkins, an English poet of 100 and more years ago. He said, the world is charged with the grandeur of God. It will flame out like a shining from shook foil. It gathers to a greatness like the ooze of oil, crushed. Why do men then now not wreck his rod? Generations have trod, and all is smeared with trade, bleared and smeared with toil, and wears man's smudge and shares man's smell. The soil is bare now, can now not foot feel being shod. And for all this, nature is never spent. There lives the dearest freshness deep down things. And though the last lights off the black west went, O morning at the brown brink eastward springs, because the Holy Ghost over the bent world broods with warm breast and with bright wings. The Spirit is constantly here to remind us of God's presence in our lives. This is a short piece from Helen Keller. I think many people here know who Helen Keller was, but for those who didn't, Helen Keller was famous for being born blind and deaf. And so she was very lucky because she had a wealthy family who could hire good people to help her. And she lived at a time when the understandings of what the blind and the deaf may need in terms of care and education and assistance were a little more forward-thinking than they had been. So this is something that she actually wrote after, even though she was blind and deaf from birth, she learned how to speak to some degree, and she learned how to write to some degree. So she wrote this. They took away what should have been mine eyes, but I remembered Milton's paradise. They took away what should have been my ears, but Beethoven came and wiped away my tears. They took away what should have been my tongue, but I had talked with God when I was young. He would not let them take away my soul. Possessing that, I still possess the whole. Each of us, no matter what the challenges are that we're dealing with now or that we have dealt with over the course of our lives, are blessed and are whole in God's love. God's forgiveness, God's grace. And so I ask that when we have these big questions like, what is God and what does that mean to us? That we take these questions seriously, because these are the questions that can change our lives and make us well. Not necessarily make us physically well or financially well or politically well, but knowing our relationship with God and knowing what God is to us and valuing that meaning, that is more valuable than anything that I can think of. We will always find a way to eat our next meal, or to get dressed, or to go out the door and deal with our lives. We've each trained ourselves well over the course of our existence to be able to survive and thrive and do well enough, sometimes better than well enough, but at least well enough. But if we value our soul, our relationship with God, and wrestle with that question of what am I, who am I, and how does God enter my life, then things will be balanced. Then there'll be harmony in our lives. At times, greater challenges, but generally speaking, all will be well. All will be good. Because we're putting our attention and our focus and our prayers and our gifts and our talents toward the ultimate value, the greatest good that transcends our lives and all the lives of all the people we've known or will ever know, have ever lived, and will ever live. Because God is eternal. God is beneficent. God is our source, and God is our friend, our greatest friend. So we look to support, for support from God. We look to God for love. We look to God for grace. We look to God for healing. And at the end of the day, I believe, we look to God for companionship, because life can be a lonely experience at times. Some of us know that better than others. Friends are taken away, families taken away, and we're left, well, sometimes by ourselves for long periods. But God is a companion that never leaves us, is always there for us, to hold our hands, to comfort us, to pick us up when life is very hard, and say, you are my child, and I love you always and forever.